You are listening to Classical Mornings with Mike and Jean here at the new Classical FM.
And speaking of Misha Berger-Gossman, she joins us in studio this morning.
Exciting to be here. Exciting.
It's wonderful to have you back. I don't know how long it's been.
It's been a long time.
It's great to see you, Misha.
It's been a minute. Yeah. I think I've had like maybe at least one baby since I was last here.
No.
Did I have two? No, I don't think you had one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't think you, I think it was back at the old locale. Yeah.
I have given life to not one, but two baby boys. You're welcome. You're welcome, world.
But you're here to talk today about the piece Afghanistan, Requiem for a Generation, which you'll be performing on the 7th tomorrow night and Saturday night with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And this piece, Afghanistan, Requiem for a Generation, the composer is Jeffrey Ryan, and the lyricist, Suzanne Steele, is Canada's first war poet. Tell us about that.
Well, it's amazing to, you know, have the composer and the librettist there. Like, it's
amazing.
It's one of the most incredible resources because you're like, oh, is this what you were thinking? Mm-hmm. Am I fulfilling your dreams?
Right.
And I asked Suzanne how it feels to hear her words sung. And like a composer, of course, which she is, it's always thrilling. It's just the most incredible thing. So I think it's a gift to be surrounded by people whose dreams are coming true. Now, I'm bleeding from the eyes because there's a lot of counting. but I am attempting to remain calm.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tanya Miller, of course, is on the podium, and having a lady boss up there is always nice.
And why is that?
Because the lady boss conductor is an incredible force that we need to be supporting because it is long overdue.
No kidding.
Well, as long as she's good, right?
As long as she's good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying give them,
not
you
just
know,
for the sake.
Don't hire me because I'm black. Hire me because I'm good.
You bet.
Do you know what I mean? So,
yes.
And she's a delight. And I've worked with her before and have always loved kind of orbiting her planet. So it's nice to have her up there. And
great. The
Mendelssohn Choir and the Children's Choir. Like, it's
awesome.
It's like the Britain War Requiem, but a little bit more comfortable for the females to sing. Everybody knows that.
I'm curious, for a new piece like this, how much lead time as a soloist do you get? Like, when did you first receive the music?
Like, without getting too deep into my work ethic.
All right, fair enough.
I won't go near that, Misha. Mike is asking the question.
Which, of course, is flawless, and I never wait till the last minute.
Of course.
Never.
It has been done before, so I've
been able to.
Right.
Thankfully, there was like a recording that I could refer to so that you're not hearing everything for
very
the first
helpful.
Time.
Because right,
sometimes
okay.
with new music, that can be
yeah.
a real challenge. But
yeah.
then it's also nice because you're like, who's gonna say anything? Because you're like, what do you have to compare to?
Right.
Yeah.
This is exactly how it's meant to be. But listen, the way the text is set with the right vowels on the right note in the right range, Jeffrey Ryan knows exactly what he's doing.
Heaven.
It is heaven.
Yeah.
And it feels like a piece that will be around for a very long time.
And this is a piece that was commissioned by the Calgary Philharmonic Orchestra in partnership with One Yellow Rabbit.
Yes.
Now, have you seen them at all?
I've not seen a yellow rabbit.
Are the people from One Yellow Rabbit, are they here or are they also in Calgary?
That's a Francine Labelle question. Are they here? Francine, the publicist, is in the corner.
We don't know.
But also the Banff Center, right? Because I feel like akin to it because we all love the Banff Center, right? So
right.
I feel like Jeffrey and Suzanne were there kind of in the mountains of, in my mind, they were like in the Leighton artist colony, just kind of like banging it out, just getting it all tight. And it is a very tight piece. It's one compact hour, incredibly powerful. And in all the right places, making you feel very unsettled, as we very much should feel when talking about things like war and PTSD and children dying and freezing to death and innocents dying. It is an incredibly powerful piece, but it's not supposed to make us feel comfortable.
And also what is fascinating about Suzanne Steele is that she is Canada's first war poet, and she was actually there. She went there and witnessed all this.
She was embedded for a couple of years as they were on their way to the front lines, and there are people, of course, she said last night before rehearsal, there's a lot of people that she met who never came home.
Right.
And the text is in some places taken word for word from testimonials that she compiled while in Afghanistan.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
There's a portion that I sing called Which One, Which One, Which One, and it's the Liberame. because there's a structure of the Requiem superimposed onto Suzanne's poetry. And it is the words of a nurse who literally had to choose which one, the burnt one, the woman in labor, the freezing one, the dying one, which one? And I say it over and over and over, which one do I choose? Who do I save? It's incredible.
Oh, can you imagine being, I can't imagine.
No.
No.
I just can't imagine.
I mean, I am blessed to have a job where I get to recount these stories, but I am under no illusion about how grateful I am meant to be to have been born and won the lottery by being born in this country.
In this country.
So I think of it as my job and my responsibility when I can to highlight issues that I pray I and my children never have to face. I mean, that's the blessing of having the benefit and, and the gift of having been born here.
You are listening to Classical Mornings with Mike and Jean here at the New Classical FM.
And Misha is with us in studio this morning. Misha, good morning again.
Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun already. I'm sure we're about to take a turn.
Yes, we are.
It's all downhill from here.
It's going to be the worst.
You wrote a memoir.
Now, what's that? What's that you have in your hand right there?
What? Oh,
yes,
what are you,
what is that?
Oh, is that a camera?
Oh, there it is.
What?
Oh,
my goodness.
Thank you for asking.
What does it say on the cover there, Misha?
It's called Something is Always on Fire.
Aww.
Something is always on fire.
Something is always on fire.
I'll tell you.
Now, what does that refer to?
Well,
about 5 million things.
About 5 million things. Everybody in this room and probably listening at home knows that if it's not your finances, it's your relationship. If it's not your relationship, it's like your kids or your career or your taxes or your... And something is always begging for attention. And, you know, I think tending the fires, letting some things burn up, you know, and letting some things have time to marinate, you know, and then putting out some fires. And I just so far have had a life that have had that has had a lot of things go up in flames. And I don't shy away from that. And I also... I'm constantly learning the dance of not running from fire to fire or to the thing that's screaming the loudest, but like floating between them and thanking God for all the fires you have to tend to.
Now, what? Why now, Misha? Because you're young.
40.
And you're
40 and sporty. This book is really about
40 is definitely 40.
40 and sporty. And I tell you, 39 sucked.
Did
and
it?
The book is really kind of about 39,
okay.
Because it is like you're on the precipice of something where you could jump over the cliff, wish you could go back. It's like a really big, it was a really big crossroads for me. Like everything was just like the back taxes came calling, the husband left, the babies were a beautiful source of joy. And there's always something that you can cling to.
Sure.
And, you know, my relationship with my parents, the people who love me.
Yeah.
But you have to come to terms with the mistakes you've made and the things that you can't go back and change that are here in front of you. And I just think like a life fully woke is kind of like the best way to go, even if it's painful. You don't get the lesson without the bruise, you know? And I kind of feel like if you want the miracles, you have to take the misery that comes with it. And there's never this imbalance between all the responsibility we long for and the heaviness of the crown. Like, you just have to take it all and embrace it all. Because if I want everything, then I have to have all of the responsibility that comes with it.
Yes, of course. And you and you portray that in your singing as well, which makes it richer. And I think this is a wonderful time to be for you, because you're 40, you've got that experience, and you've got the maturity.
And it's an outlandish idea to write a book. You know, it's outlandish. That's how I knew it was God breathed, because I was like, I've never written one. I feel like I know what the voice sounds like inside my own head. And translating that into a book was really satisfying for me.
You also had a few physical scares there, especially you want to share about the heart?
Oh, yes. My aorta exploded
in
2009. And that was an emergency. And I read about it in Chatelaine magazine. Like, I'd gone through the operation, and then like a year and a half or a half a year later, I was on the cover, and I was like, oh, 13% of people survive this. Like, I didn't really know the severity of it. And, you know, you take time to come to terms with that, because it's almost like your physical body has betrayed you. Because I'd lost the weight. Like, everybody knows I used to be super fat, and then I lost like 120 pounds.
Yes.
And then, you know, my aorta exploded. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all these things happened. But then I also had two babies. But then I also am no longer married. And you learn how to co-parent and, like, get all these things balanced in your life. But I live in the rural community of Falmouth in Nova Scotia, very close to my parents, and I feel so blessed by the life I have, even though it's insane and never stops. But it's insane for someone else. It feels totally normal for me.
And now let's go back to the piece.
Sure.
Afghanistan Requiem for a Generation. Do you speak at all in the piece?
We do say names of places where atrocities have happened.
Mm-hmm.
There is spoken word, there is sung, interwoven parts between the different voices, whether it's a soldier or a nurse or a lover or someone who has suffered loss, the children's chorus, the kind of Greek commentary that is sometimes done by the soloists as a group, sometimes done by the Mendelssohn chorus as a whole. There's the orchestra that sometimes speaks collectively, counting the dead, giving kind of sound effects of battle and post-battle, you know, the kind of moans and groans of loss and the visceral sonoric soundtrack of what this journey could mean from many perspectives.
Misha, I want to thank you so much for coming
in
today.
This has been a treat.
A real, really fine talk, and congratulations with all your success.
Thanks. Mike and Jean, all the best to you.
All the best
thank
to you.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. The Toronto Symphony Concert, Afghanistan Requiem for a Generation, is on tomorrow night at the Roy Thomson Hall and on Saturday night. For tickets, go to TSC.
Good Lord.
TSO.ca. I tried to skip it there, didn't I? Thank you.
Nice.
Nice.
Thanks, Gene.